underlying sentiments. I think something's got to give. Parts of his plan makes me nervous, but yeah, there's definitely components to organizing life, economics, food distribution, transportation.
Yeah, just a resource-based economy, yeah.
Right, housing.
Well, and I think something that that Dr. the Jacques individual said, isn't it, that a lot of our economy is based upon, you know, perceived scarcity. Or what's the word I'm
looking
for?
Yeah, there's only
artificial scarcity.
Artificial scarcity. Right, but we operate under this notion that, you know, things are scarce, therefore they become valuable. And I think a perfect example of that is diamonds. You know, diamond mines through, I mean, you know, Africa, Canada, Russia. I mean, the reason why diamonds are considered to be not only a girl's best friend, but something of value is because the De Beers family created a monopoly over them and then controlled the amount of diamonds that were available in the market. And you couple that with the fact that people love shiny stuff.
Yeah.
And so something that's, you know, not much more valuable than a rock, but when it's polished up is really pretty and also has industrial application as well. You know, is created, it has all this value because of a artificial scarcity of sorts. And if we were to not use, you know, technology and our advances within society to manipulate, but use them to better people's lives, you know, things might just be better.
Right. Instead of just selling them for nothing.
Well, right, and that's what technology has become.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, has been. I think that there was a time when the internet's infancy, the internet. I don't know what the appropriate term. You might want to end up having to grab a microphone to make things easier here. But when the internet came out in 1994, you know, that version of the internet, is that a seminal year?
Yeah.
You know that. That internet, then there was this time where it's like, okay, is this internet going to be used for the purposes of creating a multicellular, you know, organism of a planet where people are communicating on a level that socially has never happened within the human race, that is getting really close to, you know, unconscious, you know, communication, et cetera. Are we going to use this as an amazing way to make information available to the whole human race instantaneously, constantly, all the time? Is this going to be a bridge between our evolution from where, you know, from the Neanderthal to wherever we're going in our future? Or are we just going to use it for pornography and to buy crap? You know,
right.
And that was kind of like, so there's a side of the internet where it's really people are exchanging information and we are potentially evolving ourselves by changing our environment to
progression, yeah.
Yeah, expand. But I mean, for the most part, it's, you know, videos of people pooping on each other and, you know,
right,
amazing deals on Amazon with that two-day shipping.
And then repeats on cable TV.
Right. So there was that possibility and it went in that direction because so much of our technology is just to sell you stuff. I mean, that's the motivation behind so much of it.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things they do that don't need to be done the same way that they do in this dead, like, epoch of way of doing things, but they do these things just to make money.
Right, because that is the motivation for things.
Right,
and it's like
money.
When we talk about, you know, healthcare, and we talk about the expense of that, we talk about the expense of education, you know, it's really to the point where, you know, if you want to order society and the economy in a way that would be beneficial to humanity as opposed to just some people part of the power structure, you do it in a way where stuff like healthcare, stuff like education, stuff like information would be non-for-profit. Now, there's no reason for people to profit off of some of these things. And something like access to technology and the internet would be akin to an inalienable right like others we have in this country. I feel. I really do.
Right.
The only place where I separate from the Venus Project is they kind of put technology at the head of the pack instead of, you know, like the current political and economic paradigm. The technology's there instead of, you know, Washington, D.C. I think it should be used more as an aid and not so much as a guide or the... there's a lot of central planning involved in the Venus Project, which can be co-opted nefariously. I think it should be more symbiotic with more natural things. Like, you know, if Obamacare included ripping all the vending machines out of schools and making them grow organic local heirloom
tomatoes or whatnot. And
right.
There's enough bread, food, fruit, and bananas, you know, for 10, 12 people for 8 acres of land. You couldn't sell it. It wouldn't matter.
Exactly.
You
know, get all
abundant.
These.
It's a resource-based economy, so you wouldn't have to pay for anything like that.
Exactly. Put all
people's
these.
Motivation would be different. Now, you can't say that just because somebody has money, they're unmotivated. That's not true. There's like, you know, like you said, there's like millionaires that work 18 hours a day. They're not unmotivated at all. They have more inspiration and motivation.
You know, Michael Bloomberg's advice for being successful was to not use the restroom. He's a billionaire.
Right.
He advocates not using the bathroom.
But yeah, all
makes money.
That would be the Anus Project.
Yeah, that would be. That would definitely be that.
Oh, Bloomy. But yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting. The interesting part, though, is for anyone that is not familiar with the Venus Project, you should just familiarize yourself by finding that online somewhere. And I'm not advocating it, you know, personally, but it's the idea of having an alternative perspective on the way things are ordered is nice to think about, because capitalism in this country, I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to the idea of free market capitalism. Is it implemented in this country in a way that affords the best opportunities to everybody for the deal? No, it's not. And it's gotten more and more skewed as people have become less and less aware of how it's manipulated. I mean, and this has gone in waves in this country. I mean, there's been times in America where, you know, things were even, they were more controlled than they are now, and there was also, of course, times in this country where there was more of a populist voice. There was more of a working class voice within the system. So you had a certain level of protectionism that was, in effect, good for average people. But that's kind of gone now, because we've all kind of been sold a story of free market survivalism and Darwinian, you know, a Darwinian notion of how corporations work. And I mean, certainly the early part of this century, we glorified corporations in a very weird way, where CEOs were very, you know, very much so like rock stars or something, very perverted. And it all kind of fell apart. But what has not changed with the collapse of, you know, the burst of several bubbles in the last 15 years is that the steady flow of money up has not changed. And that control, and it's to the point where there's something unfair has happened, because people don't have the ability to benefit themselves through a populist political voice, because they've lost that voice, because labor unions don't matter. Both the parties are basically, you know, beholden to special interests that fund their elections, and there's no real difference between the two, et cetera. So Does free market capitalism, does, you know, the United States Republican form of constitutional government offer amazing benefits over other forms that have happened historically, other forms of government and economy? Absolutely. Is this the end point? No. And it's just people are watching us slide backwards, and they're getting concerned.
Right. We're stagnating. Right.
Well, Jeremy, I appreciate your phone call, man. Are we going to go out to Mount Washington tomorrow or today?
Yeah, that sounds like a definite plan.
All right, dude. Well, I'll Are you going to be at the house?
Yeah, I'll be right here.
All right, we'll stop by.
All right.
All right, take
care. Have a good night.
You too, man.
All right, bye.
All right, 10 minutes after the hour of 2.
This is sounding kind of set up-ish.
No, I haven't talked to Jeremy for a while.
Okay, well, you two are making eyeballs, and I have no idea what the code is. I'm not going to Mount Nothing.
No. All right, 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. But, I mean, so there is something interesting about that, this idea of alternative systems and alternative ways of doing things. But, you know, it's not going to be a proactive change. Things aren't going to change proactively. I mean, it's been 100 plus years that we've relied upon internal combustion to run our industry, to run our lives, to run our mechanisms. I mean, it's really not, that's not going to change until it absolutely has to. Because why would it? Because what's the motivation for doing so? 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI, you are on the radio.
Well, this is Russ calling in.
What's up, Russ?
I was just listening to the last guy. I don't know. I think some of these ideas might work on a small scale, but I don't think you can necessarily just throw away currencies. I mean, it actually works pretty well. You know, trying to have an economy based on I do some work for you, you give me a bag of sugar, I give you a pig. Those things just don't work very well. You know, maybe on a small scale they do, but not with 330 million people.
But I mean, and not that it hasn't the bottom hasn't fallen out of the economy yet, obviously. I mean, people have been speculating that's going to happen for a generation or five now, or however long it's been. I mean, there's always that certain level of alarmism. But an economy based upon currency doesn't seem to have sustainability or benefit for everyone either.
An interest-based currency.
But does that make sense, though? I mean, in that our economy is based upon the United States dollar more so than it's based upon our productivity, our, you know, ability to exchange things. It's just all based upon what the...
Yeah, but I bought a house 7 years ago.
Okay.
And there's no way I could come up with that kind of money myself. So somebody, you know, sure I'm getting ripped off if you look at the interest and so forth, but why should anybody loan me, you know,
$130,000? That's the crazy part. They never did. That money doesn't exist.
But that's not the point, though. I could never come up with the money myself.
And neither could the bank. That's why this is insane, and it's all based on debt.
But you go, the way that money is created on a level that creates... Well, creates the paper wealth of America is not something that's based upon, you know, the exchange of goods and services and or labor necessarily. It's about the moving around of money, and money is not really.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm also not living in a make believe house though.
Right, but you have, I mean, you know, there is a certain perspective that you can go, well, Russ has a job. Russ is going to make money. Russ has to live somewhere because Russ has a stable employment that somebody would go, well, because of your ability to exchange labor for money, then there is a reason to lend you money.
The point is, though, if the people lending me the money aren't making interest on that money, why would they loan me the money?
But the problem is not about that. And I'm not necessarily making an argument against charging people interest on loans. And we can make the Muslim argument a little bit later in the program. The argument I'm making is that there's no point in basing an economy solely on the currency, because that's all it's based upon. I mean, the fact that anyone has, you know, the way that the housing crisis, you know, came about, where all these people are getting loans, is that the economy is only based upon the currency. It's distorted. It's not based upon the people's ability to, you know, exchange labor for, you know, money or to work and to grow the economy through a traditional method of expanding the need for the monetary supply, but this artificial increase of everything. And that's why, you know, I think that it's a very valid argument to look at the currency and go, there's some serious problems here. And now what we've got is a situation where there's such a huge gap between the bottom and the top, and the middle is shrinking, that, you know, it clearly the system, the game that's being played, because it's just a game, is a fraudulent one. It's a confidence game.
Russ, if you get bored on YouTube in the next couple of days, there's a guy named Mike Montagna, and there's a bunch of G's and N's in there. It's spelled French. But if you search out mathematically perfected economy, he lays it out. It's not Muslim in any way, shape, or form. Wa alaikum assalam. But check it out. He goes over how things like you just mentioned. Well, how would we buy houses then if we got rid of this usurious Federal Reserve scam system? And it's very detailed. I think I've put maybe 5 or 10 minutes of him in suicides over the last 7 years. Because you have to hear him out for, you know, at least a solid couple hours before it starts to sink in of how you could actually have, you know, house notes without this bizarre banking system we currently have and still use paper currency. Mathematically perfected economy. Google that up next time you're bored.
Well, I mean, I understand a little bit about the parallel to the Muslim no interest type thing. I've read some articles. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm just saying under the current conditions that...
Oh, yeah, we're screwed. I'm talking about for your kids and your grandkids.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess the point, you know, I look at it this way, that, you know, I waste a lot of time on what I consider a really liberal, progressive website. Which
Huffington
is
Post. We go over this every week.
And, well, what I'm trying to say is that it seems like we're finally facing up to the fact that the smoke and mirrors are the smoke's blowing away and the mirrors are all cracked, so that it's becoming blatantly obvious that we do have a one-party system here.
Right.
The Republicans are definitely going the way of the Whigs or the Tories or whatever, and it's going to become blatantly obvious that we have a one-party system.
But don't you realize the Democrats need the Republicans as much as the Republicans need the Democrats? It's just like it's the same relationship. If we're talking about the smoke and mirrors of the economy, China can't just pull out. You know, they can't just go.
Especially with that one-child policy.
Yeah, right. Especially with the one-child policy. They have to have a little bit stronger protection than that. They can't just pull out of the situation they have with us, because their productivity, their, you know, situation is just as much based upon us as it is them.
It's economically mutually assured destruction. If they
stop loaning
his money.
Well, I understand that. What I'm trying to say is that, I mean, here's how I look at it. You know, say I'm a guy, which of course I am, and I'm unemployed.
Just theoretically, guys.
Yeah, I'm unemployed. I have a fourth grade education. I have, you know, three children by three different women, et cetera, et cetera.
I'd round up that education, by the way.
And you come to me and you go, you know, vote for me, and I'll continue the gravy train to you. And you got somebody else that says, vote for me, and you got to work. Well, it. Doesn't take that much brain power to know which one I'm going to go with.
Which one?
Well, I'm going to go with the one that says keep the gravy train going to me.
Okay.
And we're reaching that tipping point in this country. I mean, look at Texas, for example. Texas is on its way to becoming a blue state by the demographic shifts. I mean, the Republican Party is going to become a regional party at best. I don't think they're going to be able to keep, whoever they are, the power structure is going to be able to keep the fig leaf on. Because figure out they can vote themselves the treasury, it's over.
I think that's the argument for why the Democrats have any type of, membership within their party in the first place, right? I mean, aren't you in a public sector union, bro? Or a private sector union?
Well, no, I'm not arguing against it. I'm saying that's the trend line.
I mean, that's it, though. I mean, that's the...
But what I'm saying
it's
is
just
that
like
paradigm,
when the government
that,
was
that paradigm of the left-right paradigm is going to be shattered.
But no. If it... If it was going to be meaningfully shattered, Obama would have done that. And Obama did do that. If anyone
it's not going to be able to be hidden.
Right, but it won't be in name. It's already morphed into a one-party system. It's not like they're going to go. It's not like they're going to be, all right, well, fine. We're the Democratic Republican Party. We're going to save money. We'll have one office. We're going to combine the websites.
Well, I understand that, but I don't think the facade is going to be able to keep being played out over time.
You don't think what is going to be?
I don't think that facade is going to be kept up over time.
That would require people deciding that they no longer want to. So, you know, the right wing of the Freedom Chicken talks about the low, the low information voter all the time, mm-hmm. right? And that's essentially, you know, what you're talking about is that these low information voters are going to get more information and become enlightened about the system and make political decisions based upon that, right?
Well, I'm just saying
kind of what you're intimating.
You know, based on their own interest.
And I'm pretty sure
it's not an issue,
but it's not an issue of low information voters. It's an issue of wrong information voters.
Well, I understand that, but what I'm trying to say is if I come to you and I say, you need to get a job for your benefits, and you're like, well, but I have a fourth grade education, I'm 40 years old, you know, what can I do? Well, you got to go to school. Well, I can't afford to go to school. Well, you got to pay me. You know, I mean, it's an endless argument.
But, I mean, how many, but beyond disability, which is, you know, a huge chunk of people, who are the fourth grade educated males who are on welfare?
No, what I'm saying is with the society, we have a lot of people here that are, well, maybe not fourth grade, but sixth grade education level.
At the post office?
Everywhere.
All right.
Everywhere.
Sure. Okay. Well, but
I mean, we have the highest dropout rate in the industrialized world.
Right. But I find it really hard to believe that all of a sudden the apathetic, you know, voting populace in this country, who the people who are motivated to be a participant within the political system, treat it as another form of professional sports, rooting for their team no matter what, are going to somehow find, you know, the light and look through and see that, you know, it is what it is, a false left-right paradigm. I doubt that's going to happen. I don't think
What I'm saying is that
if Obama couldn't do that, Obamacare's not going to do that. You see, I mean, that's kind of my feeling on the situation. That the two-party system, you know, is a one-party system by and large for the most part, but it is, you know, simply put, they need each other. It's a
relationship. No, I understand that argument, but I'm just saying that I think the sheer weight of the, I think, you know, sooner or later we are going to reach that point where most people are not going to be doing anything but expecting the government to do something for them.
Right, well, there you go. And why couldn't the government do it? I mean, print some more Federal Reserve notes. Who cares? Right?
Yeah, that's kind of... The Soviet Union, you know, they under the Soviet system, if you were considered a critical personnel, like a doctor or something, and they increased your hours, you couldn't quit.
Right.
You couldn't quit.
You could continue to be the doctor in Moscow or go be a rock breaker in the Siberian, wasteland.
But yeah, I mean, you had that choice. That's the whole thing is that, you know, the producers and the consumers. But anyways, I got to go back to consuming.
Thank you, Russ. Consuming our the government's largesse. It's 24 minutes after the hour of 2, right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City. People are not going to see through, I mean, unless they want to. That's the whole deal. Isn't that the movie The Matrix, right? Take the red pill, take the blue pill. You determine which direction you want to go with it. Do you want to see what's actually going on, or do you want to just live without it? I mean, and that's why most people are completely turned off, you know, from the politics in the first place. Because it's not meant, the system's not geared to have people participate within it and be knowledgeable of it. for the purposes of making more informed and better decisions?
The compliance machine.
And just, you know, go with your side. You know, it's easier that way.
Rah, rah, re.
It's, you know, it suits people's needs. All right. It's 25 minutes after the hour of 2 right here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City. And the telephone number is 816-931-5534. It's 931-KKFI. You can also email ParagonRadio at gmail.com for now. We'll change things in the future. And you can also go online to Twitter. And I guess you would have to do an at go find the others, right?
Holler.
Holler at that. And you can apparently also do something with Facebook, which I don't condone.
I don't either. Just do it anyway.
But nevertheless, you do. But we'll be back after these brief messages right here on Community Radio in the 21st Century.
Hey, do you want to get rid of your unused car, motorcycle, or boat and help KKFI at the same time? The proceeds from the sale of your vehicle will benefit KKFI, and the law allows a tax deduction equal to the gross proceeds from the sale of the donated vehicle. For more information, call the toll-free number at 1-866-628-2277.
Hey, thanks to all of you who donated during the recent on-air fall fundraising campaign. If you missed your chance to support the station, it's not too late. Call 888-931-0901 to make your contribution. Or you can go online to kkfi.org. That's 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. Really, thank you from all of us at KKFI, the home of free range radio.
All right, 27 minutes after the hour of 2, and we will continue on with the telephone calls here on the Paragon Radio program. Good morning, you're on the radio.
Good morning, how are you this morning?
I'm all right, man. Yourself?
Yeah, this is Paul Park.
What's up, Paul?
I spoke with you last week about the HIV and AIDS virus.
Oh, right.
Have you seen that movie called The Band Played On?
The Band Played On. No, I missed that one. That's about AIDS, though, right?
And you watch it, and it was showed that in The Band Played On, it was shown that they didn't know what it was, so they had to go by what someone said, and then they assumed that decided to call it, the homosexual call it HIV or AIDS virus.
Right.
But that never was no topic of telling exactly what it is, but I know exactly what it is.
Okay.
That stuff is getting bad, but sometimes it gets worse in the black neighborhoods on there.
The HIV, you're saying?
Yeah, so, but the, when I looked it up in the dictionary, it's got down in AIDS Forum D Camp.
AIDS Forum D Camp. The high five. HIV.
So I was telling you last time, it only takes 4 days because it's what they call anesthetic. That's what it is they're using to make the so-called AIDS virus.
All right. But, I mean, haven't we moved on from AIDS? I mean, AIDS was so 19...
I'm going to get off and let you talk now.
All right. Thank you, sir. I think we've moved on from AIDS, have we not? I mean, AIDS is so 1993. I mean, I'm much more creeped out by Ebola. Jake, you? I remember thinking I had AIDS because I had sex and I grew up in the 90s. You know, they told you. Do you remember Madonna telling you if you have sex, you're going to die of AIDS? I don't know if that was a direct quote from Madonna or not. But it's pretty close quote there. So I was pretty concerned. But now they say that essentially, I mean, HIV is no longer a problem for heterosexual males. And unfortunately, still persists to be a problem with within the gay community. And they also say minorities also have, which I'm not clear on how that works. And I know that there's a lot of conspiracies out there for all these things. But what's not a conspiracy is that HIV attacks your immune system, and that your immune system is the only thing that keeps you alive.
Right. And I think it thrives in a decimated immune system. I think what a lot of these subcategories have in common is a weakened immune system from the get-go, whether it's partying all night, malnutrition, just unhealthy in general, poor living conditions, unsanitary places. HIV thrives in non-healthy immune systems. AIDS is an acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. It's not even, AIDS is a floating target. Starving kids in Africa show the same symptoms of AIDS as pauper and meth-riddled nightclub raving inner city homosexuals in large cities in America. The common features to them are a weakened immune system from the get-go. There's been several studies that I've seen that HIV doesn't cause AIDS, because there's people that have HIV and no AIDS, and people with AIDS and no HIV, that they're correlative, but not.
All I know is that AIDS never really took off the way they said it was going to.
No, I think
it's very interesting.
They were disappointed,
and I think they were disappointed. The folks at the CDC or whoever comes up with that stuff. And thank God that some of those viruses haven't taken off, like freaking Ebola.
Right.
I mean, it liquefies your organs. Now you literally have a week. It's like you got a 90%+ kill rate. It's astounding.
Well, and they replaced it with all the H1 varieties, so you could have a new threat every year. It's hard to sustain terror.
Old MacDonald had a farm, flus.
Yep, EIH1EIO. Yeah, so instead of trying to...
Cow, pig, or bird, or...
Instead of trying to sustain one scare for one disease across many demographic categories... they just come up with a different one every year. I think it's plan B, because AIDS did not take off like they thought it would.
Just make sure you get immunized for the flu. All the various flus. It's a real deal thing, you know? Be careful out there. But it still is amazing, you know, that here... I mean, over, you know, nearly 30 years since the naming, the recognizing of HIV, that it still continues to be a problem. I mean, it seems like there are ways to ensure that HIV does not spread, but it still persists on. And of course, you know, I mean, within the black community, there are a lot of strong conspiracy theories, and you know, some of those are in regards to HIV. And I understand why.
Right, the Tuskegee Airmen.
There's a lot of conspiracies within, you know, the black community or black communities throughout Correct. This country that are absolutely completely right. I mean, the COINTELPRO, I mean, Black Panther. I mean, you know, starting with, I mean, the conspiracy of Willie Lynch on the auction block of a Virginia plantation in 1600-whatever, I mean, there are a multiplicity of conspiracy theories. And I guess that if there was one about HIV, it would be that it is to kill gay and African, American black communities and other minorities. I mean, I guess that would be the conspiracy. Now, I don't know what agenda you would necessarily have against gay people as far as wanting to euthanize them. Because within gay folks, you don't have to worry about them procreating.
Right.
Right? I mean, and that's if you are looking at the world from the perspective of being extremely wealthy and worried about scarcity, you'd be mostly focused on people who are reproducing and people who are reproducing at an alarming rate. Now, that might start making some more sense as to why, if you're going to take a conspiratorial route, that you find AIDS in places like Africa. But why don't you find, these same, diseases in places like India or places like China? And I guess, China, you have these bird flus and whatnot. But it seems like more people die in China, mining for coal than die, in disease outbreaks. Or more people in China die from, weaponized. What would those be? Those hornets? Did you read that story about?
Yeah, those giant wasps.
Yeah, just getting destroyed by by hornet stings, or was it wasps in that that Chinese town, that rural village? Because these bugs just, I guess,
attack.
Have somehow devolved in some sort of bizarre way.
No, it's crazy. But the thing about those places you mentioned is the homogeny, I think, has also something to do with it. The ability to spread and mutate disease is kind of different in a uniform culture with, like I said, the homogeny of China.
Are you saying that people's immune systems are able to adapt quicker?
Yeah, or it may just, I don't know. I'll shut up.
Very well, then.
Well, and also with the ability for places like the CDC has a much easier time landing boats in Ethiopia than, getting over the Great Wall of China. They're not going to stand for it. But what you're saying a while ago about why would the eugenicist want to kill off homosexuals if everybody was homosexual, there would be no reproduction. I think that, and especially since a lot of your eugenicists are gay men themselves.
Really?
Yeah, Skull and Bones, or at least bi. I mean, they're not.
Jake.
They're not haters. But, that is interesting why they would target,
Well, no, I'm just saying, just to talk the conspiracy out a little bit.
No, right. I'd never thought of that because you're right. If their goal is eugenics and to rid the world of undesirables.
Well, it just seems like, gay people wouldn't be necessarily your I mean, I can understand, if you're just like, oh, look at those happy people over there not dealing with all the heartache and blues that a woman can cause. You know what I mean? Just being, just hating on them, I guess. Just wanting to see them destroyed. I mean, I don't know. It's just, you can look at it from all kinds of perspectives. And then you can also look at, the concept of health and just simple, hygiene, which becomes a real thing because there was a good amount of belief early on in the AIDS epidemic that it had something to do with being gay, and it was called the gay related immunodeficiency syndrome or sort of GRID or something like that. When I was really kind of realized that, it was connected to the lifestyle, but it wasn't just from that. It was certain aspects of some members of the gay community's lifestyle. It wasn't just the act of having, homosexual sex or intercourse. I mean, it was...
Yeah, it was GRID. Gay-related immune deficiency. Crazy.
A whole bunch of different factors. But, obviously there are plenty of gay people, living
and I mean, who have no, you know, who are not in the risk group for AIDS, because there's other factors involved, like drug use. And, you know, just the same way anybody who's having, you know, free sex, who's not, you know, practicing some level of, you know, physical restraint. I mean, come on. It's nice to think certain thoughts, but to live them, totally different. And, hey, everyone has their youth. You get through it. You get over it, yada, whatever. But it's pretty clear how some things work. You get, you know, everybody gets dirty things from dealing with dirty people. And it's just a simple fact of life. But therein lies that. And I don't know what else really could be said about HIV. Because,
well, Paul gave his phone number out last week. And if you've got AIDS, he can get rid of it in 4 hours for you. So go to GoFindTheOthers.com, Paragon Radio Archives. Look up last week's show. Find Paul's phone number and he'll help you out.
So human breast milk sold for babies on several online sites for a few dollars an ounce may contain dangerous bacteria. For all you folks out there who have an ounce of breast milk coming in the mail. I mean, everyone gets an ounce in the mail, an ounce of something in the mail. Folks out there getting the ounce of breast milk, it may have bacteria in there. And that's straight off the AP wire. It's cute, isn't it?
Breast milk?
Absolutely. Now, I was just looking at... I've almost finished filling out my application for being a death panelist.
Oh, right.
Super excited about that. You get a free iPad.
Sweet.
If you get chosen. So everyone should check that out. So what else is going on there, Jake?
Well, I was disappointed nobody called about the rapid transformation of Overland Park.
I totally thought you had a taker too, but you know, no go on that. Yeah.
Drew threw us off.
I think that's, I mean, isn't that the nature of everything? Everything is becoming more multicultural.
Yeah.
It's messing with you. You're like Axl Rose getting off the bus in downtown LA. You got the...
Even when I was in the country in Pettis County, the amount of Russians, you know, is not even...
Do you not like Russians?
I don't dislike them. I'm just a very observant person. And when you notice... thousands of people move to one spot in a very rapid period of time, it just makes me wonder, you know, like if instead of, you know, WIC or food stamps or disability in some of these countries, if they don't just pull a hat, like out of a hat, it was like Overland Park, and they give you a plane ticket to Sedalia, Missouri. They give you a plane.
Well, no, I think there's some of that is true. I mean, if you're going to get a visa to come to America to work, I mean, you can't just go wherever you... And not everyone can go to New York, right?
Right.
Not everyone go to L.A. or wherever. I mean, people end up coming to Kansas City. They end up in Overland Park.
Michigan. Apparently, Michigan has huge communities of non-Americans, non-local, like Canada or Mexico... You know, halfway around the world type stuff where people just end up.
I find this amazing that you're surprised by all this.
Not surprised. Just notice the, like I said, how fast it happened and how diverse it is. Like,
yeah, especially if you're, let's say you are coming to America to better your family and, you know, whatever. Why would you move anywhere other than the suburbs where your children could go to great American public schools?
Right. Well, you know, or vice versa, how many people, you know, underprivileged Americans are sitting around going, you know what, I bet there's a city in Finland that would just take us in and we could...
But it doesn't go both ways, does it?
It does not.
Yeah, it does not.
And that's what I'm saying. This.
But that's the nature of America, though, right?
It is. You're poor, huddled masses.
Right, yearning to be free. free to
E pluribus unum.
Free to go, work at McDonald's for $7.15 an hour.
Yeah, it's just,
dream of that big $15 an hour paycheck in the future.
You know, because my oldest daughter is 14, and she has a few friends that are Russian immigrants. That she's not sitting around, you know, plotting out what part of Estonia or
yeah. Why the hell would you want to go
Latvia?
There?
I bet there's some killer spots over there. Russia's got like 12
but to
time
do,
zones.
But to do what though?
Exactly.
Go work at the Estonian McDonald's.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. How could these poor people, underprivileged, not very well educated people from all over the world magically land in Overland Park?
I mean, it's. I think they literally take the map and they just go like that.
Spin it, hit their finger. I think when they sign up for quote unquote welfare in their home countries, they get something akin to a lottery ticket or a drawing or something. And a ticket that they can't read, and they get on that.
I think that's precisely how it works. But you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure the work visa program, in a lot of ways, some of the immigration is a lottery based system.
But isn't that only the six figures, like nationwide, how many work visas they are allowed to issue each year? I mean, there's six figures between here and Sedalia of work visa related type brand new move ins. I don't know. It's just very odd to me how fast it happened and how seemingly random it is. Because I'm sure the 14-year-olds...
Are you thinking about moving to Utah?
I'm thinking about going to Russia. They're all here. There's got to be all kinds of wide open spaces now.
Yeah, a whole bunch of wide open space in Russia. 12 you know how, time zones worth of
you know how long
space.
You can live off the grid before they found you? And then you just do like they do here. Just say, no inglés.
I don't think they're nearly as polite.
Well, and that's the propaganda. Are they? I mean, there's got to be some vast countryside in the steppes of Eurasia that would take...
Oh, yeah, there is.
Right.
Yeah. What are you going to go over there and grow beets? I mean, you realize why people left there and you know, are leaving there.
I do, but
there's nothing going on, man.
But at the same time, that's what I'm saying.
They don't even have Jimmy John's, Jake.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to rethink this.
Yeah, they don't have Jimmy John's, bro.
But yeah,
you can't get a sub freaky fast.
That sheer number of people, and if Pettis County is overran with 10,000 literally Russian immigrants, then there's got to be multiple communities over all 50 states and probably Canada as well that are similar to that. That you're talking, you know, a million or two people, and if these are underprivileged, you know, Russians or whatever, why you'd think solving things in Russia at some point would be far simpler for them than relocating.
Really solving things in Russia?
Or their local community, not for the U.S.
Watch a little documentary on Russia or something like that. Russia's had problems that go back for like 500-600 years.
Well, yeah, ever since Alexander the Great.
Okay, I think Catherine is who I was thinking of.
Yeah, true that.
But, you know, I mean, you know, it's the deal, though, is that we can sit here in America and have all these complaints about the situation here.
Yeah, don't get me
idealistically, you can have all these problems, but realistically, I mean, come on. You know, people are still coming here from all over the planet.
Don't get me wrong. I am not hating. I am not paranoid. I'm not asking them to leave. I'm just curious as to how that happens. There seems to be some kind of organization to the randomness. There couldn't just be randomly a million people leaving Russia and 10,000 of them show up in Pettis County, Missouri.
The interesting thing is, you know, one of the – is very popular, especially to send back to – for African immigrants to do.
Oh, Western Union's behind this, aren't they?
They'll get you get like a big plastic 55-gallon drum barrel, and you'll fill it full of food, and you'll send it via FedEx to Africa.
Huh.
to some little, you know, poor impoverished country. Have you heard of this? And one of the things that a lot of times that it's people who are on government assistance who are filling up these 55-gallon drum barrels with EBT food.
Oh, eat better today.
To then send it back home to give to the cousins and, you know, the extended family.
I hadn't thought of that. And I like how gently you push the phone buttons, by the way.
I'm very gentle, aren't I?
I should learn that.
816-93, as you're over there concentrating and getting them on, 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
Your show sucks.
Oh, really,
yes!
Buddy? Thank you, pal.
That's the hallmark of an excellent show. Thank you, Show Sucks Guy.
And, you know, it's funny that Show Sucks Guy calls when you are railing against illegal immigrants. Because you figure he could get down on that. Be like, this is actually a salient point you're making.
If I could request a Russian accent the next time you call in, sir.
Your show, it sucks.
Or get on Google Translate. Maybe even learn your show sucks in Russian and say that. That'd be tight.
That would be pretty all right. But, I mean, that's the nature of things. Everything's getting extremely multicultural.
Quickly.
It's not a melting pot either.
No.
Distinct differences amongst the peoples.
The Walmart at 127th and Metcalf had every third person was of a different language, and they had no... you know, it didn't seem like anybody was eager to learn about the other. There were a whole lot of small little differences, and it's just odd.
Well, you got to love the immigrants because they don't play. They're here to
work,
live the American dream. I mean, that's what they're here to do. That's why they came here. That's why they signed up. It's the whole situation. They're excited about Obamacare.
Right.
They don't get the fear-based mind control of the government shutting down.
Oh.
I love how when we're told that our government looks ridiculous. The Chinese are laughing at us when we have a government shutdown. I'm really worried about what the Chinese think.
Yes.
Really, you know, it makes me feel uncomfortable to feel like the Chinese are talking about us. You ever been in a situation like that?
Yeah.
Where people are laughing and pointing at you and talking about you in a foreign language?
Correct. And unfortunately, I know enough Spanish to decipher some of that. But in current Overland Park standards, I'm going to have to learn four or five other at least basic cuss words in Hindi and... oh, my God. What do they speak in Iran? It just flew right out of my head.
Persian.
Well, yeah. What's their language is called Persian?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good.
Or Farsi. Is what it is referred to. All right. Well, you know, there's a couple minutes left if you'd like to call up before we do the suicide. Anything good in the suicide, or is it just like so-so suicide?
Oh, the whole thing's good.
Pretty solid.
We got the lady freaking out on the floor of Congress. It's yet to be determined what she's actually saying.
Did you get the fetus found in a shoplifted bag at Victoria's Secret out of New York City?
I did not.
You missed that one, huh?
I did miss that one. I did work a bunch of overtime hours this weekend in Overland Park, if that wasn't apparent. So I didn't do a thorough combing. But it's a good mix. Of course, the government shut down stuff. There's an interesting story in there now about the growing trend of squatters just moving into empty houses. Russ, that's how you fix your mortgage problem. Just find a house that's been empty forever and move in. Nobody cares.
That's a good point. Yeah, you couple that with a freaking diet.
And a Venus Project, and here we go.
And you are ready to go. Got nothing at all to worry about. All right, well, we'll take a little musical break, and at the top of the hour, we'll have a brand new suicide for you. It'll be Suicide 291. Is there a title for this one?
Suicide 291. The title is... Oh, be moaning.
Oh, very well. Right here on the Paragon Radio program.
All of you who donated during the recent on-air fall fundraising campaign, if you missed your chance to support the station, it's not too late. Call 888-931-0901 to make your contribution, or you can go online to kkfi.org. That's 888-931-0901 or online at kkfi.org. Really, thank you from all of us at KKFI, the home of free range radio.
Did you know that you can donate that unwanted car, boat, truck, or motorcycle to KKFI and get a tax deduction for your donation? Find out more by calling 866-628-2277.
You are